Hey, all you wonderful people, what's going on? Welcome to episode 22 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. I am your host, Ryan, and on this podcast, I bring you music reviews from music lovers. On today's episode, I will be reviewing new releases from Harakiri for the Sky, Born Ruffians, Laurie Anderson and Kronos Quartet, and also Car Seat Headrest. All of these albums were released on February 16th. And also, I would like to just mention a couple of releases that I think you should check out that are worth listening to. One is the album Room Inside the World from the band Ought. That's O-U-G-H-T, Ought. There's also a split by the doom metal band Windhand and also the metal band Satan Satyrs. Check that one out. And there is also a new album from the alternative band Pianos Become the Teeth. The album is called Wait for Love. That's a good album to check out as well. All right, so that wraps it up for suggested albums to check out. Let's get to the reviews. Okay, so the first review I'm doing for today is for the new Harakiri for the Sky record, which is called Arson. Okay, so Austria's blackened post-metal sons Harakiri for the Sky return with Arson, which is the follow-up to 2016's record 3 Trauma. Now, I'll be the first to admit that when it comes to black metal, I am in no way, shape, or form a purist. In fact, I find it very difficult to penetrate most traditional black metal. I tend to latch on to bands that are sort of genre offshoots, if you will, like Agalloch or Wolves in the Throne Room, you know, both of whom expand, or in Agalloch's case, expanded their sound to include, you know, both folk and ambient slash electronic elements. So, having heard of Harakiri for the Sky, and, you know, having become curious about them when I read that they have been described as quote-unquote post-black metal, I decided to check out Arson. I've become a big fan of post-metal and post-rock over the past handful of years, and what impresses me most about great bands in these genres, especially a lot of the instrumental bands, is how well they convey emotion through their music. So enter Harakiri for the Sky, who are impressive in their ability to convey sorrow in both their music and lyrics. Here's a few lines from the opening track, which is called Fire, Walk With Me, that act as a sort of mission statement for the unconverted listener, and conveniently also a sort of a crystallization of my feelings concerning this album, Arson. Okay, so the lines are, "This will never be about life, always about love and death. These are the only things that make me right, the things that let me bleed, that let me starve," end quote. This album, Arson, demonstrates over and over that Harakiri for the Sky are very good at making sorrowful music. Sorry, that was hard to say. In my opinion, they're a little too good at it. The template, you know, of double bass drumming and minor key chord progressions, and also vocalist JJ Wontram's somewhere between a scream and a growl performance that, you know, doesn't vary a whole lot, you know, and the occasional acoustic guitar or piano passage. You know, this formula is one that the band follow throughout the album like a blueprint. And honestly, it holds the record back. It really does. It's a shame because Harakiri for the Sky are definitely able musicians, you can tell. And Arson is full of, you know, interesting guitar leads and instrumental breaks, especially on the track Stillborn. The track Heroin Waltz stands as, in my opinion, the most successful melding of post-metal and black metal on this record, simultaneously, you know, pummeling and intricately alluring. On the closing track, which is called Manifesto, a female vocal breaks up the monotony, and I couldn't help but think that this was the sort of dynamic that the band should have experimented with much, much more on this release. The songs on Arson stand on their own as decent compositions with some memorable highlights, but I don't think I could ever listen to this album in its entirety again. It's emotionally draining, and not in the same way that an album like Agalloch's Marrow of the Spirit is. It comes down to really a variety of sound and dynamic songwriting. And for Harakiri, you know, the ingredients are there. I think that they need to be a lot more adventurous with their sound, you know, and go down a few less traveled avenues of post and black metal on their next go-round. So I gave the record Arson a rating of 6 out of 10. And for recommended listening, you should check out the tracks Fire, Walk With Me, and also Heroin Waltz. So moving on to the next record I'd like to talk about today. It is the new album from a band from Ontario called Born Ruffians, and the record is called Uncle, Duke, and the Chief. So Ontario's Born Ruffians have returned with Uncle, Duke, and the Chief, the follow-up to their 2015 album, Ruff. That's R-U-F-F, Ruff. And in typical Ruffians fashion, the band is not content to replicate their past efforts. After experimenting with a synthesizer-infused sound on 2013's record, Birthmarks, and then streamlining that sound on the album, Ruff, this time around, the band sidestepped, you know, the post-punk side of their personality, for the most part, in exchange for a brighter, airier, crisper record that breezes by a listener. Oh, and it's over almost before you even realize it. Really, nowhere is this luminous sound, which is so reminiscent of 60s pop, more evident than the opening track, which is called Forget Me. This is a track that relies on the confidence that singer Luke Lalonde conveys in the lyrics, you know, which are about growing older. And, you know, the lyrics really strike a balance between melancholy and contentment. The following track, which is called Miss You, ratchets up the action with some energetic gang vocals and some more pronounced percussion. The aptly named Sidetracked takes a detour into sort of pseudo-funk territory, or R&B territory, if you will, and the track Fade to Black really kicks things into gear with a sort of surf rhythm and the shining, jangling guitars. I sort of wondered why this track didn't lead off the record, or perhaps come just after the track Forget Me, but since the record barely stretches past the half-hour mark, you know, this bit of sort of odd sequencing didn't take away anything from the record for me. And the band slows the pace down with the dreamlike track Love Too Soon. And then they bring out their post-punk side, albeit tempered with folk sensibilities on the track Spread So Thin. The mood gets a tiny bit goofy on the track Tricky. But at about a minute and 30 seconds in, Lalonde's vocals and some punchy guitars saved the song from being one-dimensional. The band used the track Ring That Bell to explore the more experimental tempo-shifting side of their personality, a la their previous record Birthmarks, as I mentioned earlier. And the closing track, which is called Work Together, lives up to its name, finding the band sort of sprinkling the best attributes of this album, you know, all over the song and really finishing the record strong. Now, I'm sort of torn because on one hand, Born Ruffians managed to be both very concise and representative of their different personalities on this record. But this record also feels like it's over much too quickly. I think the songs could have used a bit more space to breathe and expand. But in doing that, a band always runs the risk of, you know, either being self-indulgent or, you know, just to, sometimes there's just experiments that don't work. So sometimes they fall flat. So I'm glad they didn't do that. But if the past is any indication, Born Ruffians will find a way to reinvent themselves again on their next project. And I'm excited to see where that journey takes them. So, all right, so I gave the record Uncle Duke and the Chief a rating of 7 out of 10. And for recommended listening, you should check out the tracks Forget Me and Spread So Thin. So moving on to the next record I'd like to talk about today. It's an album called Landfall from Laurie Anderson and Kronos Quartet. Okay, so, you know, legendary musician, composer, pioneer of electronic music, denizen of the New York City art scene of the 1970s, Laurie Anderson teams up with the also legendary Kronos Quartet, who are a San Francisco-based musical institute, if you will, that has been in existence for over 40 years now, to create a very cinematic and haunting album called Landfall, which was inspired by the havoc wreaked by Hurricane Sandy. This is it's a topic that's especially close to home for Laurie Anderson, whose New York apartment suffered some major damage at the hands of the storm. You'll have to pardon a terribly convenient pun here, but Anderson's, you know, electronic expertise and her penchant for somewhat surrealistic spoken word passages, paired with the Kronos Quartet's mastery at the art of creating myriad sounds with their instruments, is a quote-unquote perfect storm. Yeah, I know that was a bad one, but now it's not an album for everyone, and it will require patience on the part of the listener. This is certainly not background music, as it will not allow you to ignore it. At many times across the span of Landfall's 30 tracks, the Kronos Quartet create unsettling, startling, even downright frightening passages that convey a deep sense of dread, you know, as of a person watching and listening helplessly as an oncoming monster, which in this case is the destructive power of nature, you know, bears down on them. Now, Anderson injects the album with electronic flourishes that take nothing away from the organic immediacy of the quartet strings. And she uses her spoken word passages to both augment this mounting sense of unease and also to tell these seemingly random anecdotes, such as an encounter she had with some faulty karaoke equipment while singing in Korean at a Dutch bar, or the time she watched a naked man playing a flute in a spacious recording studio and mistaking small microphones that were covering his body for flies until getting close to him. These bits of surrealism have the curious effect of conjuring in my mind both an image of Anderson before the landfall of Hurricane Sandy, you know, waiting for the inexorable, and finding strange thoughts in the sort of tedium that comes before a major event like that, and also an image of Anderson after the storm, you know, surveying the damage and cataloging the lost and the salvageable. And, you know, these spoken word passages also serve to break up, you know, what I'm sure many listeners who aren't into this type of music would feel is a monotonous album. They give the record a feel of rising and falling action, or sort of waves of anxiety and fear that are interspersed with reflection. If not for them, I may have found it difficult to absorb this album as a whole. I'm glad they are included. Really, the bottom line is the musicianship and composition that's displayed on Landfall, you know, have motivated me, inspired me to check out more of Anderson's work in depth, as well as the Kronos Quartet. So hopefully, you know, many other listeners out there will share this motivation with me. Okay, so I gave the record Landfall a rating of 7.5 out of 10, And for recommended listening, you should check out the tracks CNN Predicts a Monster Storm and Dreams. All right, moving on to the last record that I'd like to talk about today and my personal pick for this week. It's the new record from the band Car Seat Headrest, and the record is called Twin Fantasy. So, William James Toledo Barnes, a.k.a. Will Toledo, who is the creative nucleus of Car Seat Headrest, follows up his 2016 record Teens of Denial with a bold, characteristically dynamic, dare I say epic, re-release or reworking of his 2011 album Twin Fantasy. Now, whereas the original record lands somewhere on the sort of fidelity spectrum between demo and polished work, this new version, recorded with the band that Toledo has surrounded himself with for the past handful of years, strikes a deeply satisfying chord for me, not only on a sound quality level, but on just about every level I can think of. Now, I won't be examining the changes Toledo made to the songs lyrically and instrumentation-wise, you know, between the two records or two versions. Not because they don't interest me, they do greatly, but because this episode would likely be 2 hours long. And I'll save dissecting Toledo's, you know, almost Joycean lyrics for a possible future episode. Twin Fantasy as an album is largely about dynamics, and those dynamics are ones that Toledo handles with an ease and a grace that, you know, quite frankly, puts most other lo-fi garage rock acts to shame. The easiest way for me to expound upon these dynamics is to, you know, approach this album track by track, so let's do it. So the opening track, which is called My Boy, Twin Fantasy, introduces an unwitting listener to Toledo's talent for writing a highly memorable hook over a deceptively simple musical backdrop. The track ramps up the emotion established by Toledo's repeated lines about two people who don't see each other much, you know, breaking open halfway through the track and really making a promise to a listener, you know, of Toledo's willingness to speak plainly, even if the subject of the lyrics is a painful one. And My Boy is followed by a track called Beach, Life, and Death, you know, which structurally is the sort of antithesis of the opening track. This is a three-part, you know, sprawling epic that throws into sharp focus the dynamics of Twin Fantasy, Toledo's ability to pack, you know, more memorable hooks into 13-odd minutes than many singers can on an entire album, while never stretching his vocal approach outside of garage rock territory. There's also a natural flow to this track that, you know, makes it deceptively simple, much in the way My Boy was deceptively simple. You know, none of this track's short detours veer far enough off course to, you know, disrupt its, you know, overwhelming sort of melancholy nature. The lyrics have an often surreal quality to them, as of someone recalling an odd dream while still half asleep. Toledo is also strikingly direct in the lyrical approach on other parts of this track, as when he sings, "I am almost completely soulless. I am incapable of being human. I am incapable of being inhuman. I am living uncontrollably." When the track comes full circle in its third part, with lyrical imagery of ocean waves rolling repeatedly over the grave of someone that Toledo doesn't specifically identify, there's a sense of uneasy resolution, you know, similar to that of a book or a film that has a less than concrete conclusion. As I'll talk about in a little while, Beach, Life, and Death acts as a sort of garage prog bookend for the beginning of this record. Now, the next track is a brief number called Stop Smoking, We Love You, which acts as a sort of interlude. You know, a simple strummed acoustic passage and Toledo's emotive plea for a loved one to improve their health and avoid an early death gives a listener a bit of respite after the intricacies of the previous track. And then the next track, which is called Sober to Death, follows, you know, Stop Smoking's lead for its first minute or so, you know, after which it opens up into a beautiful mid-tempo rocker and signals a shift in the album's structural dynamics that Toledo and Company follow for the next few tracks. Worth noting is the last minute and 45 seconds of the song, on which the band alternate between soft acoustic strumming and distorted power chords, giving that section of the song a sort of stop-and-go feel, which, paired with Toledo's refrain of "Don't worry, you and me won't be alone no more," instantly called to my mind every complicated relationship I have ever experienced, you know, the endless string of highs and lows, fissures and reconciliations, etc. And after this track, the album takes a very interesting turn, kicked off by the high energy of the track Nervous Young Inhumans, which to me sounds like a high school dance which is presided over by the Smiths and Weezer, until about the 3 minute mark, where Toledo uses a stream of consciousness spoken word passage to expound upon human nature while a guitar sort of noodles away over a backbeat. Now, the celebratory atmosphere returns on the next track, which is called Bodies, and that's B-O-D-Y-S, with more post-punk musical stylings, including a guitar melody that sounds like a long-lost bass line from Peter Hook, and some cleverly and chuckle-inducing self-awareness in the lyrics, in which Toledo pokes fun at typical pop song structures, you know, and thereby himself for using one, and also subverts the power of youth lyrical trope that's so prevalent in pop music by questioning the health and integrity of the bodies that surround him. Toledo sounds like he's having a lot of fun on this one, and that expands the emotional scope of the record, and I believe it strengthens it in the process. Now, the following track, which is called Cute Thing, is my least favorite on the record, most likely because I don't feel that Toledo really pulls any new tricks out of the bag on this one. It's a solid rock song, though, one that reminds me of Nirvana, both in its guitar attack and Toledo's vocals on the chorus. I find the way he continually catches and corrects himself in the verses, as if he's making them up off the top of his head, particularly amusing. And the next track, which is called High to Death, takes the album into more dreamlike territory, with lots of space for Toledo's vocals to echo into, you know, like shouting into a well. This track has a callback to the track Stop Smoking, on which Toledo seems to have, now he's resigned himself to the fact that the person he's pleading with is not going to change. He expresses his love despite this. The lyrics also contain a reference to short story called The Yellow Wallpaper, which is written by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. It's a story that's based in the 1800s, in which a physician's wife is confined to an upstairs nursery to treat her quote-unquote hysteria, and she, you know, descends into madness, seeing the figures of other women crawling around behind the patterns of the yellow wallpaper in the room. And she finally, you know, suffers a psychotic break and finishes the story just crawling the perimeter of the room again and again. So this is a reference that, you know, for the unwitting would mean little and would go right by most people, but it struck me as harrowing, especially given the lyrics regarding the acceptance of a negative situation in this track. So pretty striking. And the references don't stop there. Next up is a sample from a video adaptation of a Ray Bradbury short story, which is called All Summer in a Day. And you hear this voice that calls, "William, William, let me out, William." And the sample is of the girl who is the main character in, you know, this short story. In Bradbury's story, the girl lives on Venus, where the sun only appears once every 9 years. And then Toledo goes on to compare hell to the sun and the human brain, quote unquote, on fire at the center of things, which is a stark image, you know, in a series of stark images. Then the track takes another left turn as listeners are introduced to an audio guide for the Nevada Museum of Art in Reno, Nevada. And then an artist by the name of Hojin Stella Jung, who has provided cover art for multiple car seat headrest singles, details the creation of a series of her pieces of art. Here it is transcribed. "Hello, my name is Hojin Stella Jung. I'm a senior at McQueen High School. My portfolio is a collection of paintings that was created during last summer and the first half of my senior year, and it's called The Lady. And I didn't feel very well when I painted the first, and I didn't feel very well when I painted the last, and it was intense. It was an intense process. It was how I was trying very hard to personify that intensity, but it's hard to talk about her now because I think she wasn't me, at least that's how I feel, and I'm trying to figure out what to do now. She represents fervor in woman. She is powerful, yet fragile. She dares, but also averts her gaze. And I love her, at least I did, and... But now I feel lost, and I'm sure of what to think or feel. I'm not sure of what to think or feel most of the time. But I did believe in her, the lady, and maybe there is a different form now that the intensity takes." End of quote. Here, Will Toledo finds another great method of relating his complexity of feeling regarding his own art. And Jung's spoken sample ties the song together in a surprisingly neat fashion, her thoughts relating to both The Yellow Wallpaper and All Summer in a Day in ways that made me respect Toledo even more as a well-read and intellectual artist. Now we arrive at the penultimate track, the other bookend for this album, the 16-minute track Famous Prophets, Stars. Now, if there's one feeling this track overwhelms me with, it's the feeling of, you know, the last leg of the journey, knowing you're within a few miles of home, winded and emotionally exhausted, but just cherishing every moment of your struggle. The track, you know, continues in the vein of its predecessor, with some cryptic lyrical references to David Bowie, The Stones, and Led Zeppelin, all laced into lyrics that are tinged with biblical references as well. When the refrain of "the ocean washed over your grave" appears, it gives this listener the dichotomous feeling of, you know, a resolution in which little to nothing is actually resolved. Toledo seems to have accepted the futility of trying to change another person. And a lonely piano complements Toledo's mournful vocals during the second half of this track, heightening, you know, the sense of loss and solitude that permeates the track before Toledo lets fly with another salvo, you know, just belting away his vocals amid cymbal crashes and enormous guitar chords. And then the action breaks again, and a female voice reads a Bible verse, which is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. I'll read it here, since on the record it can be a bit hard to hear. "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I abandoned my childhood, I put these ways behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these two remain." Now, in the original verse, that last line actually reads, "and now these three remain." But Toledo changed it to "and now these two remain." Toledo changing this number to two seems to tie in with the, you know, the idea of reflection that's explored throughout this album. And the fact that two versions of Twin Fantasy exist, you know, really reinforces that mirror symbolism. So, and finally, we come to the closing track, Twin Fantasy, Those Boys. Now, this song feels to me like film credits for two reasons. The first is that it lands, you know, after a climactic track like Famous Prophets. The second reason concerns you know, the return of self-awareness to the record. Much in the same way that film credits will pull you back into reality after a great film and remind you that the film was created by human hands and human minds, this last track finds Toledo reminding the listener of the, you know, tenuous connection to reality that Twin Fantasy has. He says, and I quote, "This is the end of the song, and it is just a song. It's a version of me and you that can exist outside of everything else. And if it is just a fantasy, then anything can happen from here. The contract is up, the names have been changed, so pour one out, whoever you are. These are only lyrics now." End of quote. So, these two sides of Will Toledo, the two versions of Twin Fantasy, and also musician and listener, have converged here at the end of, you know, this, these 72 minutes of self-exploration. And as Toledo sings, "When I come back, you'll still be here. When you come back, I'll still be here." You know, the realization dawns that great art like Twin Fantasy is finite and an expression of specific feeling at a specific time, but the magic of it lies in that capturing of those feelings. We as listeners can replay Twin Fantasy and therein relive the emotions we feel as a result of the album. So Toledo has created an intricate, artistically dynamic, and intellectually stimulating record. And I admire his courage in deciding to revamp Twin Fantasy instead of simply writing an album of new material. He must have known that there was more to the record than when he first documented it back in 2011. So I gave Twin Fantasy a rating of 9 out of 10. And for recommended listening, you should check out the tracks Beach, Life and Death, and Nervous Young Inhumans. Okay, so that concludes my reviews for today. Join me for episode 23 coming next week, on which I'll be reviewing new releases from Black Milk, Huntsman, Screaming Females, and Renata Zegur. That concludes episode 22 of the Radio Live Transmission Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Ryan. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good day.